Amen. I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Amen. Yes, we haven't been able to have church for a couple weeks, and I've really been missing it. Amen. I called Brother Josh and said, I'd like to come down and visit with you. I hope that's okay. He said, "Come on down and bring a message with you." So I said, "Amen." I'm very excited to be here. I believe you ought to have a desire to go to the house of God. Amen. You ought to have something in there that draws you to the house of God. And if you don't, I think you might want to check up on things. People want to spend all their time at Walmart, and they're worried about that coronavirus, but they'll mask up and go to Walmart, but they won't even come to the house of God. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly, but that's just facts. Me and my wife went Christmas shopping. We pulled into Walmart, and it looked like every parking spot in the whole place was filled up. Amen. I told my wife, I said, "Lord, they won't come to church, but they'll go to Walmart, and they'll run around in Walmart." But you pray for me. I'll try to be a blessing to you. I don't have a New Year's message, but I have a message I hope that will encourage you for the new year. Amen. You just pray for me. We'll be in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, and I'll start reading in verse number 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of the same hour. And when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble in our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his straightway." I'm going to stop reading right there, but we see that Paul and Silas have been journeying. They're on their second missionary trip, and they're headed to Macedonia. In verse number 6 through 10 over here, it says that they were headed toward Asia, but the Holy Ghost forbid them and turned them around. Amen. Paul goes on to talk about how that he knew that the Holy Ghost had told him that imprisonment and all that stuff, persecution was awaiting him, but he said, "My life is worth nothing if only I can spread the gospel." Amen, is what he was saying on in a few chapters up. But we see that they're going back and forth, they're spreading the gospel, and then they get cast into prison. They're inside the inner prison. It says right here that 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. They were put into the very inside of the prison. They were in the deepest, darkest part of the prison. Amen. I don't know if you know much about prisons, but you go to the inner part, to the max part. You probably have to go through 10 gates of security. One gate. And they put you in it where nobody can reach you, and you have absolutely no chance of getting out. Amen. Paul and Silas were down there in prison, and they were put in stocks, and they were sitting in there. And it says it was midnight, and it was dark. And I'm sure that that prison hindered Paul and Silas, and I'm sure that that prison hurt Paul and Silas, but he didn't let it get in his way. I mean, I believe it went to something, a little something like this right here. I believe they sit down in the middle of that old cell, and I believe they sit down, they put backs to back to one another, amen. And Silas told Paul, he said, "Paul, I'm tired." And Paul said, "I'm tired too." But Paul told him, said, "I'm not too tired to praise God, amen. I'm not too tired to preach the word of God, amen. I'm not too tired to pray, amen." I know sometimes we get out in this old world and it beats us up and it kicks us around, amen. And we're not too excited about going to church and we feel like we can't get up there and we can't praise or preach or pray to God, amen. But what we need to do is we need to sit down and we need to start praising God. It said that they started singing and praising unto God, amen. And they started worshiping God right there in the middle of that cell, amen. They was just sitting there back to back. They was all beat up. They done whooped them with whips and they done kicked them around, amen. But they was just going to do what they wanted to do, amen. I want to preach on this thought. What Paul lived in prison. What did Paul live in prison? Amen. Number one, he lived the ultimate Christian duty. You say, what's that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The ultimate Christian duty is to worship God. Amen. It's to get to the house. Facebook. That's not what Paul and Silas did that night. I'm sure they didn't have no nightlight down there in that cell, and it was midnight and it was dark. They probably couldn't see their hands in front of their faces, amen. But they say, it's not going to get in our way. We're going to sit here and we're going to praise God, amen. They had a little talk with Jesus, and Jesus showed up down there with them that night. We see a demonstration of praise. Paul showed how to worship God, amen. When you're going through your deepest, darkest time in your life, I know it's hard, and I know it's tough to praise God, but we must continue to worship and praise God, amen. There's a declaration of worship. He said, I don't care who hears me, and I don't care what they say about me. I don't care if the other church members think I'm crazy if I stand up and wave my hands around, amen. I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship God. Amen. He lived the ultimate Christian duty. Over in John chapter 4, he says, those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And he is looking for such to worship him. Amen. He's looking for them to worship him. Amen. And then when you start worshiping God, guess what? God's going to show up. Amen. You get serious with God, he's going to get serious with you. Amen. They lived the ultimate Christian duty. Amen. To worship God. And go to God's house and praise Him. Amen. Number two, they lived the ultimate Christian desire. Say, what's that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. I get to tell you again. Amen. Amen. To feel or see the manifestation of God. Amen. I love it when I'm sitting in a church service. Amen. And God just shows up all of a sudden. Yes, amen. We see a sudden presence in verse number 26. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Amen. They was over there praising and worshiping God, and guess what? Suddenly, all of a sudden, Brother Josh, the Lord showed up in that place, amen. Yes, he started walking around in there with them, and I believe they got louder and louder. I believe they're still sitting there with their backs together, singing like two wolves howling at the moon, amen. They was just singing just as loud as they could, and they was praising God. There was a sudden presence of God. We had our homecoming service not too long ago. I told Brother Tom, I said, man, I hope the Lord shows up. I hope he does. I was sitting on the edge of my seat. I felt like he was up there singing. Brother Tom, I believe he was probably sitting on the edge of his seat too. They started singing that song, Did I Mention That I Love Him? And how I worship and adore him, amen. The tears started coming off my eyes. Brother Tom started crying. The guest preacher over there got up and got to shouting. I couldn't help it. I got up and started praising God for everything he's done for me and where he brought me from, amen. Brother Tom was shouting, hey, God showed up all of a sudden. Yes, hey, and it was good.
Amen.
But we was praising and worshiping God there. That's the key to it.
Right.
You got to praise him and worship him. You want him to show up, amen. There was a sudden presence. And then we see in verse 26, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. There was a shaking presence. You see, when God shows up and he gets down there in your heart and he gets to shaking you up, you walk out of there a different person, amen. Right. You got all that bitterness and all that sorrow in your heart, amen, and you feel like God ain't within 100 miles of you, then all of a sudden he shows up and he starts working on that old heart and he shakes you up, amen, and you start praising the Lord. Over there it says, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt, amen. They was being held captive to their sorrow, amen. Yes, and a lot of people are being held captive to the sorrow in their heart. Let's go on. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God. He set me free.
Amen.
He set me free.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. It was dark down there when Paul and Silas was in there, amen. But that darkness drifted away, I believe, when they was down in there.
Amen.
And then you go on. Daily I'm working and I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through.
Amen.
Goodbye to sin and things that confound, naught of the world shall turn me around. Amen. Amen. Nothing's going to turn me around. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Amen. Amen. There's a setting free presence.
Amen.
There's a shaking presence. A sudden presence, a shaking presence, and there's that setting free presence. Amen.
Amen.
When He comes in there and He sets
Amen.
You free from all that sorrow you've
yes,
been going
sir.
Through, when you've been up all night for nights, and you don't know which way you're going to turn,
yep.
and He comes in there and He gets to dealing with you, and you have a good talk with Him. Amen.
Amen.
And you fall fast asleep, and that next morning you wake up and you feel brand new. Amen.
Amen.
I've had it happen to me. He's sure been good to me. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand firm, and don't get entangled there again with the yoke of bondage, with that sorrow that's in your heart. That past that the devil might try to bring up on you, that's all under the blood. That's all been washed away, Brother Josh.
Yes, sir.
That's all gone. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They lived the ultimate Christian duty. They lived the ultimate Christian desire, and they lived ultimate Christian discipline.
Yeah.
It takes Christian discipline to grow spiritually. Amen.
Yeah.
Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things.
Right.
Just as if you would go to the gym every day to work out, you have to discipline yourself. Nobody gets out of bed every day and says, "Hey, I'm so excited to get up here to the gym and go work out." They don't do that. They're motivated by what they see in the mirror. They're not motivated to get up and do that every day. We lack discipline. We lack spiritual
right.
discipline.
Right.
Praying, going to church,
right.
reading our Bibles. If everybody in here was to admit it, that they only read their Bible when they wanted to, they would have to say, "I don't read it that much." Because we don't always want to read our Bible. Discipline will help us grow spiritually, amen? It'll help us grow. It'll help us become better Christians, amen? They lived ultimate Christian discipline. Verses 27 and 28, it says, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'"
Amen.
Paul was practicing discipline. You know why? Because Paul knew what he was going through wasn't for him.
Yep.
He knew it was for somebody else.
Right.
See, we go through things in our life a lot of time, and we boo-hoo and pat around and think, "Why is this happening to me?" Not knowing it's really not even for us. A lot of times it's for somebody else. Amen. A lot of times that's what it is. He knew it wasn't all about him. We should stay where God puts us, amen? We should serve where God puts us. We should be successful where God puts us. I love my church. I love Landmark Baptist Church. I love my pastor. He's my best friend. Over the past 4 years, he's become my best friend. He's 30-something years older than me, but we're best friends. We talk every day, multiple times a day. That's my friend. I think dearly of him. And God put me in that church.
Amen.
I know that's where God put me.
Amen.
And that's where I'm going to stay.
Amen.
That's where I'm going to serve.
Amen.
I don't rub shoulders with him and tell him, "Hey, I want to preach. Hey, when you going to let me do this? When you going to let me do that?" Because when the mantle falls my way, I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to preach.
Amen.
And I'm going to serve for him. And I'm going to do what he asked me to do. See, he's a lot closer to God than I am, I figure. And if God puts it on his heart for me to preach, he'll ask me to preach, amen. And I'll just be honest with you, there's been a lot of times where I've been discouraged. And I felt like, "Man, I've really blowed it this time." And I'd be like, "I don't want to preach no more." And then the next time service comes around, Brother Thomas say, "You want to preach tonight?" It's like God just spoke right in his ear and he knew exactly what I needed, amen. He's helped me to keep on going. He's encouraged me, and he's been awful good to me, and I sure love him, amen? But we should succeed where God puts us. See, in verses 35 through 38, like I was telling you before, the Holy Ghost turned them around from Asia and took them back. So
right.
Paul knew he was where he needed to be.
Right.
He knew he was right in the exact spot where the Holy Ghost wanted him
That's
to
right.
be at, amen? And so he was being successful where he was.
It says that they brought him out, and that jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And you know what I believe Paul started telling him? He started telling him about the love of Jesus Christ. How Jesus stepped off his throne and come down here and wrapped himself in flesh, yep, and became the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. And died on that old rugged cross for him. I believe that's what he started telling him. Amen. Yep. He didn't have to sugarcoat it. He told him what? The truth. Right. And that's all that old jailer needed to hear was the truth. Right. Sometimes that's what people need to hear is the truth. Amen. Yeah. When they're going through their troubles and they're going through their sorrows, they just need somebody to tell them about Jesus. That's all they need. You never know who's watching. You never know what you're going through is who it's for. But whenever you come out the other side victorious, then they're really like, wow, I need to check up on Jesus. Yeah. I need to get in there, amen? And I'll give you an example of it right here. And it says, "And when it was day, the magistrate sent to the sergeant saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.'" Watch what Paul told them. He said, "But Paul said unto them, 'Hey, they've beaten me openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. Now they want to just thrust us out privately?'" He said, "No way, man." He said, "You tell them to come down here and get me and walk me out of here."
Yep.
That's what he told them. So they come down there and they walked him out of there, and Paul come out of there victorious. Amen. He succeeded where he was at.
Amen.
There was a defensive back for the UT Vols named Inky Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He was two games away from going to the NFL.
Yep.
Making big money, amen. He was playing defense, and the receiver caught the ball. He came up and hit that receiver. When he hit him, he hit the ground. This is his testimony. When he hit the ground, he went completely numb. They come and carried him off the field, amen. And they said, "There's a vein ripped in your chest. You're probably going to die if we don't get you in here tonight and take a vein out of your leg and put it in your chest." So they get him to the hospital, and he said his dad comes to the hospital, and he said, "Son, how can that God that I take you to church to worship on Sunday let this happen to you? That God that I take you to FCA on Wednesdays that you go and worship, how could he let this happen to you?" And he said, "I told him, 'Dad, I don't know. I don't know how he could let it happen to me.'" He said, so he kept going to church. He said, and one day he was kneeling in his room. He said, and his dad come to stay with him in Knoxville, first time he wanted to come around. He said his dad come by, and he said he was kneeling to pray. And he said, "Son, that God that I take you to church to worship on Sunday, that God that I took you to FCA and let you out and go into Bible study on Wednesdays," he said, "if he's helping you handle your situation like you are, then I want to give my life to him." Amen. Inky was successful. Even though he didn't go to the NFL, he was still successful. Amen. He said, if he could replay that play 10 times, he said, 10 times out of 10, I hope the same thing happens because it led to my father's salvation. Amen. You never know what you're going to go through. You never know who's watching you. Amen. But you just keep on praising, and you keep on singing to God, and you keep on telling him how much you love him, and you keep on keep on praising him, amen. I know 2020's been a bad year, but I'm telling you, if we don't get back to God in 2020-21, it's not going to get any better, amen. We need to see people getting back to God. I thank you for having me tonight. I hope I've been an encouragement to you. You pray for me, and you pray for my little church up there, amen. And we sure do thank you.
Amen.
Amen. That was good. We don't often do invitations on Wednesday night, but I think we will tonight, Brother Scott, if you'll get us a verse of a song. I think that it is amazing, the message that Brother Jesse brought tonight. I, of course, preached Sunday morning on having a praise in 2021 and how that I feel like that we've got something to be worshiping for and praising God for, and then he brings that message tonight. I think the Lord might be trying to send us a message. So, well, preacher, I don't always feel like praising the Lord. I'm sure Paul didn't feel like praising the Lord. But you do it anyways, not because of the way we feel, but because of the fact that he is worthy.
Yeah.
That's why it's called worship, because he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worth it. So I think God's got a word for us. But we're going to give a moment of invitation. Brother Scott, if you want to sing, we'll do that.